Enough, Emily!
The screen is black. A comfortable modern home, nighttime.
Emily. Emily, please!
A man follows her.
You know that I love you. You know I would never hurt you.
Blocking the door. Emily puts a hand up to her bruised face.
Since the day that I met you, I knew that we belonged together. But sometimes you just push my buttons, Emily.
Emily is slender.
You're trying to make me angry.
With short, sideswept black hair. Emily.
Just move out of the way, Jared. No.
Emily lurches forward.
I want to go.
No, no.
Jared grabs her wrists.
Not until you accept my apology.
Emily holds out a defensive hand.
Stand this tension between us. Why won't you just talk to me?
Emily tries again.
Let me go, Jared.
No!
He grabs her.
Tell me that you love me. Tell me that you forgive me.
Squeezing her arms.
Hurting me.
Jared lets go.
You never get to touch me again.
Emily walks out the door.
It's the middle of the night. Where do you think you're gonna go? Wait!
Jared follows her out.
Emily! Emily! Stop with your games, Emily. You know I hate being played with.
The neighbors walking their dog see Jared. The dog lunges on its leash. Emily runs off into the night. Now Emily hides in some bushes. Lifetime Pictures presents. A car pulls up on the roadside. A dark-haired woman in her early 30s opens the door and gets out.
Emily! Emily! I'm here!
Emily emerges from the Emily. Bushes.
Oh my God, what did he do to you?
Hi, Lena.
Emily embraces Lena. Lena holds Emily tightly. Then she releases the embrace. Emily.
Sorry it's so late. I didn't know what else.
Lena.
Sweetie. It's okay. Let's get you out of here.
Title card, The Evil Twin. Now driving, nighttime. Moving down a city road. Now on a dark, winding country road. The car stops in front of a large, comfortable house. They sit in the car. Emily stares straight ahead. Lena.
I can't believe that bastard hit you. I always knew he was trouble.
Emily.
The signs were always there. I just didn't want to admit it.
You can stay here as long as you need. My mom's not doing well. And I have to go be with her for a while. So... that leaves this little beauty all empty. And no one to run the shop.
The antique store? I always loved that place. Best hide-and-seek spot ever.
Only if you're interested.
It just feels so strange being back in Mill County. It's been 10 years.
Honey, the city isn't working for you. It's time for a new beginning. Let's go. It's been a long night, and you must be exhausted.
They get out of the car. Emily stops and looks at the house. The next day, a small town street. Lena and Emily walk together. Lena.
I should warn you, the shop may feel a little overwhelming at first. It's gotten even messier since we were kids, if you can believe that. My mom could always find treasure in any trash. Plenty of opportunity to put those woodworking skills of yours to use.
A large sign for a real estate agent, Linda Carmichael.
Oh my God.
Inside the office, a woman with long blonde hair stands up at her desk and stares out at Emily.
What was that about?
Making friends already, I see. Come on.
Lena and Emily arrive at the shop.
Oh my God.
Big vintage.
It hasn't changed a bit.
Nope. The rest of the world is turning into one big strip mall while we stand frozen in time.
They enter the shop.
I know it all looks like junk from someone's attic, but there's a lot of potential in here.
Just needs a little love.
The shop is crammed with antiques.
I'm sorry I can't stay long. I gotta start packing. I'm heading to my mom's tomorrow. If I leave you the keys, do you think you could lock up later?
Oh, sure. That's no problem.
Emily takes the keys.
Well, I, for one, am glad you decided to give this place another chance. It'll be so nice having you close. Oh, And speaking of antiques, I got one more thing to show you.
They go outside. They exit a side door of the shop where an old pickup truck is parked outside.
It's yours. For as long as you need it.
As long as you can get it started.
Emily hugs Lena.
No!
Emily puts her hands on the hood of the truck.
It's your new baby.
Lena.
Later that night, Emily is leaving the shop. She exits, locking the door. She turns around, looking out into the street. She sees the smiling face of Linda Carmichael on the real estate poster. Emily.
What did I ever do to you, Linda Carmichael?
Then she notices a dark SUV across the street. She stares at the SUV.
Jared? Is that you?
The vehicle starts up and drives away. Shaken, Emily heads around the corner to where her truck is parked. Later, back at Lena's house. Emily sits working at the kitchen island. Lena sets a mug beside her. Lena.
Hot chocolate with a sprig of mint, just the way you like it. I'm sure you saw Jared.
Emily.
I don't know. It was dark. It looked like Jared's truck, but I can't be sure.
I thought you filed a restraining order.
I did. The day after.
Well, then we need to call the police. Let them know he's stalking you.
I don't know. I can't be sure. Not enough to call it in. Maybe I'm just imagining things. I haven't been sleeping all that great.
Lena comes around the island and puts her hand on her friend's shoulder. The next day, morning, Lena sits at the dining table with a bowl of cereal and a cup of coffee. She stares off into space. Emily's reverie is disturbed. Lena enters the house with a suitcase and a box. Lena.
I got those things you asked for. A few dresses, photo albums.
Emily.
And you sure you didn't see Jared? He didn't follow you back? Or...
No one followed me, sweetie. You're safe here, I promise.
Thank you so much, Lena, for everything.
Should I change my plans? Find someone else to take care of my mom for a while? I don't feel right leaving you all alone.
I will be fine. Go, be with your mom. Give her a big hug for me.
The two women embrace. Emily waves.
Call me.
I will.
Every day.
Okay.
Lena exits. Now Emily unpacks. She reaches into the box and pulls out a stack of photos. She sits looking at the photos. In the photos, her face has been blacked out. Emily.
Jared, you petty, petty man.
She puts the photos back in the box. Then she pulls out a State of New York birth certificate. She stares at it a moment, then puts it back in the box. Later, Emily exits the house. She waves at a neighbor. The neighbor, an elderly woman, stops, glaring at her. Neighbor.
You got a lot of nerve showing your face around here.
Emily, confused.
I'm sorry. Have we met before?
You can change your hairdo any way you like. I know exactly who you are. You disgust me.
The neighbor walks away. Emily goes to her truck. Later on at the shop, Emily's working on a rocking chair. A man enters the shop. He looks at an old secretary desk, opening it. Emily greets him.
I see you like the classics.
The man.
I do, but not as much as my daughter. She's a huge Jane Austen fan. She's reading Pride and Prejudice right now, and I think she'd love a desk like this. Something like her heroines used back in the day.
How old is your daughter?
9. Do you think this would be too big for her?
Maybe a little big right now, but she'd grow into it fast. They built this furniture to last a lifetime back then.
Okay, I'm sold.
Great.
By the way, I'm David.
Emily, nice to meet you.
They shake hands.
Actually, I think you're the first person I've properly met since I moved back here.
Well, thank you, Emily, and welcome back to the neighborhood. So, I don't really have any way of getting this home. Is there any chance you deliver?
I will give it a fresh polish overnight and deliver it myself tomorrow.
You don't mind?
Oh, no. As you can see, I've got plenty of time.
The man pays for his purchase.
So, this might seem a bit forward. I don't do this sort of thing, but when you bring the desk, maybe you might want to stay for dinner. I just figured being new to town, you might enjoy a home-cooked meal. And I know it can be tough to meet people.
Can I think about it? I'm just still sort of getting situated.
Yeah, of course. You can drop it off and decide then. No pressure.
Okay.
The man exits the shop. Later that day, Emily turns the clothes sign hanging on the door around to face outward. She closes up the shop and goes to her truck. She takes a note from her windshield. Written in red, "I warned you."
Warned me about what?
Emily gets into her truck. She looks at the note again. She tucks the note into the purse on the seat beside her. Then she starts the truck. Someone rear-ends her. She hits her head off the steering wheel. A man gets out of his vehicle and approaches the truck. Emily holds her wrist. He opens the driver's side door of Emily's truck. The man.
I warned you, Charlotte. Gave you a chance to leave town, but you didn't listen. So I'm going to tell you one last time.
Who are you? Why are you doing this?
Leave town. Never come back. So help me. I'll kill you myself.
He lifts his phone and snaps a picture of her as she covers her face. He walks away. Emily slams the truck door. The man drives away in his SUV. She watches him in her mirror. Then she puts on her seatbelt. Later that night at the house, Emily speaks to a police officer.
Is there anything else you can tell me about the driver?
In the living room.
I don't know. I hit my head. I was seeing stars.
Emily wears a wrist brace.
And the attacker claimed he knew you.
He called me Charlotte. I've never seen him before in my life. The way he looked at me.
Can you think of any other reason why you might have been targeted?
I just moved into town. I got into a bit of trouble when I used to live here, when I was a teenager, but nothing anyone would remember more than 10 years later.
Well, we'll look into this SUV. In the meantime, if you have any questions, give me a call.
Thank you, Detective Millen. I will.
Detective Newman leaves. The next day, Emily walks down the street. She enters the real estate office. Linda Carmichael looks up from her computer screen. Emily stands in front of Linda's desk. Linda does not look pleased to see Emily. Linda.
The hell are you doing here?
Linda stands.
I thought you were leaving town.
Emily.
Do I know you? Have I done something to offend you?
Haven't you done enough, Charlotte?
I am not this Charlotte person, whoever she is. I swear to you.
Whoa. This is a new low. Even for you.
Here.
Emily shows Linda her ID.
Emily North.
Look, you can call yourself whatever you want, but I can see with my own eyes.
Linda shows Emily a photo in her wallet.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you need a reminder?
A woman that looks like her in bed with a man. The woman's hair is longer. Emily looks at the picture in disbelief.
Is that supposed to be me? I'm sorry, I don't know what to tell you. It's just not. So you have the balls to stand here and tell me that that's not you in bed with my husband. 1 week before he died.
Died?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about. Okay. Well, then I got news for you, sweetheart. You got a long-lost twin. And she's a bitch.
Emily looks down at the photo in the wallet.
Do you know where I could find her?
Now Emily pulls into a long driveway surrounded by trees. She parks and talks on the phone to Lena.
Apparently her name is Charlotte Palmer.
Lena.
Wait, so Jared isn't the one who's been stalking you?
It's some guy I've never met.
Intercuts.
And he thought you were this Charlotte person.
Your long-lost twin?
Lena, I don't know what to tell you. I just want this to end. When I looked her up, this was her last known address.
But how do you know this Charlotte person is actually your sister and not just some stranger who looks a lot like you?
Exactly like me.
I remember when I was a kid, I always thought my parents were keeping secrets from me. They never wanted to talk about my birth mother.
It always felt like there was something missing.
Well, they say some pairs of twins, even if separated, go on to have similar interests, choose similar careers.
End up living in the same small town.
Well, the things people are saying about her, I'm not sure we have all that much in common. I guess I'm about to find out.
Good luck.
Thank you. I'll call you later.
Emily gets out of her truck and approaches a gray brick mansion. She knocks on the door.
Yes, can I help you?
A woman answers.
I'm sorry, but we don't accept solicitors around here. Charlotte? Charlotte Palmer? Yes, I'm Charlotte Palmer. Why? What is it you want?
She's identical.
I'm Emily.
With straight, long black hair.
I think I'm your sister. I don't have a sister. Did Blake put you up to this? Who's Blake?
Charlotte takes a closer look at Emily's face.
Oh my God. Well, don't just stand there looking flabbergasted. Come inside.
Emily enters the house. The door closes behind her. She looks around.
You have a beautiful home. Oh, this old shack? Don't be too impressed. It's not worth half as much as it costs. You could have fooled me. Well, you know what they say. You can fool the eye, but you can't fool the heart.
Emily follows Charlotte out to the patio. Now she sits on the patio under a portico, surrounded by lush green trees. Charlotte returns carrying a manila envelope.
So?
Charlotte.
I couldn't find any other records, but I did find my birth certificates.
Charlotte pulls out the birth certificates and sits down at the table.
St. Jude's Hospital, Mill County, New York, June 15th, 1999, 6:23 a.m., 6:28 a.m.
Emily.
So it's true. This is incredible.
Charlotte.
I just can't take my eyes off you. Does that make me the worst narcissist on the planet or what?
Could you just turn that way a little for me?
Emily turns her head and Charlotte studies her.
What a treat to finally get to see the backs of my ears. I just don't understand why we were ever separated. It seems so cruel to do that to twins. Cruel. It's outright abuse. It's a wonder we're not both insane sociopaths from all the trauma. You didn't grow up out here too, did you? I can't imagine how we'd never have crossed paths. No, I grew up out west in Eugene, Oregon. The only thing I ever knew about Mill County were those two words stamped on my birth certificate. So what brought you all the way out here?
a man, naturally. We met at a convention last year, and when I found out where he was from, I just thought it was meant to be. So I followed him out here like a little lost puppy. I was running away from a man, you were chasing after one, and somehow we both ended up here, back where we started. Like I said, fate. My sister. The only way to tell us apart is that wrist brace. And our hair. Yeah. I need to ask you, Charlotte. Have you had any problems with anyone here in town? I've had a few incidents. People mistaking me for you. I mean, I've made my share of mistakes, but nothing that would cause anyone to lash out. Some people just take issue with a woman who does her own heavy lifting, I suppose.
Emily checks her phone.
Oh, speaking of heavy lifting, I'm late for a delivery. This has been amazing, but I really need to go.
Are you sure? We were just getting to know each other.
Well, you have my address and phone number. This is just the beginning for us.
Give me a hug. It was amazing to meet you too, Emily.
They embrace.
Like a gift from fate. Okay.
Charlotte grabs her phone and puts it in her back pocket. They head out. Emily drives away in her truck and Charlotte waves from her front yard. Now Emily checks her phone. A photo of Emily in her truck. The next time I run into you, you won't be walking away. Leave town or else. Charlotte makes a call. The man answers.
Charlotte, you get my message?
Charlotte.
Lake, I am asking you for the last time. Please stop harassing me. I haven't contacted the police out of respect for your brother and what we had between us, but you are pushing me too far. I am begging you, for Trevor's sake.
Still going for that Oscar, Charlotte?
Blake sits in his truck.
I know who you are. You're not getting one red cent of Trevor's money. If the lawyers can't get you out of that house, I'll toss you out myself.
Charlotte hangs up. Charlotte goes back inside the house. Now Emily arrives at a house with the desk in the back of her truck. In the cab, Emily talks to herself.
It's just a delivery, Emily. It's not a blind date. No pressure.
She knocks on the door. A precocious young girl answers.
And who might you be?
I'm Emily, and you must be Adelaide. Heard so much about you. I've heard that you know more about Jane Austen than anyone else on the planet.
I do. I know she wrote the entire history of England before she turned 16, and she wrote her first play when she was 12 years old.
Wow. Well, it sounds to me like you are going to love what I brought for you then.
Adelaide looks out at the truck.
You brought a desk?
Not just any desk. The exact same style of desk that Jane Austen sat at when she wrote Emma.
Adelaide's father appears.
So the commotion I hear. You made it. Thanks so much for coming all the way out.
Oh, my pleasure. I enjoyed the drive.
Daddy, look at Emily brought. Could she please save for supper? Please, Daddy?
I swear I did not tell her to say that.
Well, I was going to head home. But now that I've had a chance to smell whatever that sorcery is you've got going on in the kitchen, how can I say no?
Come on in.
Emily goes inside. Now Adelaide sits at her desk. Her dad goes into the kitchen where Emily sits at the island. Emily.
This was delicious, David. Thank you so much.
David picks up a bottle of wine.
Oh, that's okay. I shouldn't. For the drive home.
He puts the wine back.
But you wouldn't by chance happen to have any hot chocolate. Maybe with a sprig of mint. My happy place drink.
Not sure about the sprig of mint, but I'll see what I can whip up.
Emily's phone lights up. She stares at her phone.
Is something wrong?
No, I just... I got some pretty strange news today, and I guess I'm still processing it.
What happened?
Well, I found out I have a twin sister, and she's here in town. I'm serious, I met her for the first time about 3 hours ago.
But how is that even possible? I like to think I'd have noticed seeing two women who look like you walking around town.
She was born here, but she's not from here. She says it was fate that brought her back.
So, what's she like, your sister? Besides being just like you.
She's a little more intense than I am. Mm-hmm. More charming. And much more beautiful, if you ask me.
Somehow I find that hard to believe.
And she's calling me right now.
You should answer it.
Are you sure? I don't want to be rude.
She's family.
Emily answers her phone.
Hi, Charlotte. Nice to see you again.
Charlotte.
I won't keep you long.
Video call.
I just had to see your face one more time to reassure myself.
This is not some sangria-induced hallucination.
I know, I'm still pinching myself.
Charlotte sees David in the background.
You didn't tell me you have a guy. I don't. We're just having dinner. Charlotte, David, Charlotte.
Hi, Charlotte. Nice meeting you.
You too.
He's cute. Oh, no. You have me on speaker, so he can totally hear me saying that, can't he?
Yep.
Okay, I've embarrassed you enough for now. I've still got, like, 30 years of sister embarrassing to make up for. Talk soon.
Okay, bye. Have fun, you two.
Emily hangs up. Wow. David brings over the hot chocolate.
She really does look and sound like you.
Yeah, it's a bit unnerving, to be honest.
Emily picks up her mug.
Just found out I have a clone.
Hey, here's to hot chocolate and shocking revelations.
Cheers to that.
Cheers.
They clink their mugs and drink. Meanwhile, Charlotte sits alone in her mansion on her couch. Now Charlotte goes into the bathroom and opens a drawer. She takes out a wrist brace. She tries the wrist brace on and holds up her hand. Then she pulls back her hair, looking at herself in the mirror. She's the spitting image of Emily. Emma.
I'm not entirely sure.
Chats with Lena.
I'm still figuring out this whole sister situation.
Intercuts.
Have you made plans to see her again?
No, not yet.
I'm getting the impression Charlotte's the spontaneous type. Still have so many questions to ask her, but I think I should take it slow.
Charlotte enters the shop.
And she's here.
Wait, Charlotte just walked in?
Yeah. Bearing gifts.
Okay, well, have fun. Just be careful.
I know she's family, but she's still a complete stranger to you.
Thanks, Lena. Talk soon.
Emily ends the call. Emily greets Charlotte.
Hi, Charlotte.
She's cut her hair.
No surprise.
Just like Emily's.
And you cut your hair.
Hey, sis.
Charlotte.
I was meaning to cut it forever, but I wasn't sure until I saw it on you. Don't you just love saying that, sis? Were you in the neighborhood? You didn't have to come all the way out here. Well, I thought you might appreciate some higher-end cuisine. Or at least as high-end as it gets out here in Dullsville.
Charlotte looks in a jewelry case.
Look at all that glitz. Yeah, some of the stuff that comes through here is truly one of a kind. I guess you can't say that about either of us anymore. You know, I had the hardest time finding this store. You've got, like, zero web presence. It's not very good for drumming up business. Yeah, the owner, Lena, she kind of prefers word of mouth. Also, I had to get a restraining order against my ex, Jared, so I'm sort of trying to stay off the grid. Oh, my God. Was he dangerous? He hit me, so I left. Not that the signs weren't always there. He was paranoid and jealous and controlling. Believe me, I know the type. That sort of man crumbles like an old tissue the second you stand up to them. Remember, you're the one with all the power. I certainly don't feel all that powerful. Well, it's good you got out when you did. Not every woman does.
Charlotte takes some business cards.
Well, I will be sure to spread the word, but only locally. That'd be great, thank you. I need to ask you, Charlotte, and I'm sorry if this is too personal, but are you sure there's no one angry at you here in town?
What makes you ask that? Did something happen?
A strange man attacked me on the street. He warned me to get out of town and he called me Charlotte.
Was he driving a black SUV?
Yeah. Why?
That might be Blake Forsbeck. I used to date his brother, Trevor. It didn't end well, and Blake has been completely obsessed with me ever since.
I'm so sorry you got caught up in this. You need to be careful, Emily. Blake is not in his right mind. He can be dangerous.
Believe me, I know.
Okay, look, give me a chance to talk some sense into him. I will try to tell him that you are not me.
And that should get him to back down, if he'll even listen to me.
Thank you, Charlotte. But you need to be careful, too.
Oh, don't worry. I can take care of myself. You hungry? So what'd you get?
Later that night, Blake emerges from a building onto the street. Blake answers his phone.
Charlotte.
Charlotte.
What do you want?
I just wanted to let you know, Blake. It's gonna take a lot more than a fender bender to scare me the hell away. I deserve that money, and I want what I'm owed.
You're
useless, Blake.
Charlotte drives away.
You're a coward, just like your brother.
All bark, all bull, no bite.
She hangs up. She drives by Blake, giving him the finger and waving at him.
Bitch.
Enraged, Blake jumps into his vehicle. He follows her. Charlotte drives up to Emily's house. She gets out of her car and approaches the house. Blake has parked his vehicle and watches her. He reaches for a nearby bottle of whiskey, unscrews it, and takes a swig. Charlotte has gone around to the side of the house. Charlotte looks in a window and sees Emily working on her computer. Emily.
Sorry about this, sis.
Then she moves away from the window and goes around to the other side of the house. Now Blake moves to the side of the house. He looks in the window at Emily. He sees that she's wearing a wrist brace. Emily reaches for a glass of water. Blake tries the door. It's locked, so he slides open a window beside it. He reaches in and unlocks the door. Blake opens the door and enters the house. Emily picks up her dishes and goes to the kitchen. Blake hides. Meanwhile, Charlotte comes around the other side of the house and gets into her car. She takes off the wrist brace and throws it on the floor. Charlotte takes a gun from her glove box. Now Emily's in the kitchen tidying up her dishes. Blake finds a baseball bat. Stealthily, he approaches Emily from behind. Emily turns around and sees him. Blake.
Oh my God.
You murdering bitch.
He threatens with the bat.
Why couldn't you just walk away? Huh? You're not getting a dime from my family's money.
He swings the bat, breaking some dishes. Emily runs and Blake pursues her.
You just couldn't leave it alone. You just wanted to see how far you could push me!
I'm not Charlotte! I'm not Charlotte! I'm your twin sister, Emily.
I'm done listening to your lies. And I'm done believing anything that your evil mind cooks!
Flash and Blake falls to the floor. Charlotte stands behind him holding a gun. Charlotte enters. Charlotte.
Oh my God, Emily, are you all right? I think so. I don't know.
Emily is shaken.
You shot him. He attacked you. Why? Why did he do that? He was sending me death threats. He was unhinged. I never imagined he would go this far.
Blake gurgles on the floor.
He's alive. Call 911. He tried to kill you.
Then you'll go to jail. I can't just let him die.
Emily tries to help Blake. Reluctantly, Charlotte pulls out her phone. Later, the police are there.
I know you're probably pretty shaken up by all this.
Detective.
But can you come down to the station tomorrow? Give us a formal statement?
Charlotte.
That'll be fine, Detective.
You knew Blake Forsbeck, correct? Along with his brother, Trevor. You two had a history together.
Yes. Yes, I knew them.
Can you think of any reason why Mr. Forsbeck would not attack your sister?
Sounds like you're trying to blame the victim, Detective. Am I being detained?
No. You're free to go. We'll contact you if we hear anything new.
Charlotte walks away. Now the detective speaks with Emily.
We'll match the paint from Blake Forsbeck's truck to the scrapes on your car. See if we get a hit.
Inside the house. Emily.
But why was he so angry? He accused me of being a murderer.
Blake had a brother, Trevor. He died in an accident a little over 6 months ago, carbon monoxide poisoning from a faulty fireplace. He was alone in his bed, sleeping.
That's awful. But what does that have to do with me, or with Charlotte?
It happened in a house Trevor secretly purchased in order to carry on an affair with your sister. She claims she wasn't there that night and provided an alibi. She also claims he left her the house, as well as a sizable financial windfall. Family's been fighting in court ever since.
I had no idea. I thought Charlotte was rich.
Appearances can be deceiving.
What about Blake? Is he going to be okay?
He's in intensive care. Word is he's going to recover, and then he's going straight to trial.
Charlotte sits in her car. The neighbor watches her from her veranda. Charlotte starts the car. She speeds away. The next day, Emily calls Charlotte.
Were you able to get any sleep last night?
From the shop.
How are you holding up?
Charlotte.
I'm all right, I suppose.
Sitting on a patio.
Blake had been tormenting me for a long time.
At her house.
Honestly, it's like a big weight has been lifted.
Sipping a drink.
You probably saved my life, Charlotte.
I don't know how to thank you.
I'm just glad you won't have Blake's death on your conscience.
I heard from Detective Miller.
Charlotte sits forward.
Oh? What did he say? Looks like Blake's gonna pull through. Oh, that is good to hear.
Charlotte sets her drink down.
Charlotte, I'm sorry to bring this up, but the detective told me something else. He told me Blake thinks you had something to do with his brother's death. Blake never approved of me. He claimed I was after Trevor for his money. It's a vicious lie. But I guess they told you all that, didn't they?
It was a tragic accident. Trevor died of carbon monoxide poisoning.
We
We shared such a beautiful home, but he was too cheap to maintain that old fireplace.
And he died while you were away? I know how it looks. But I loved Trevor. I never set out to ruin anyone's marriage. Ever since I was a kid, I suffered from abandonment issues. Gravitate towards unavailable men. After his wife kicked him out, he moved in here with me. Honestly, if the police were interested in anyone, it should be her, not me.
Charlotte looks at her own reflection in the window.
Charlotte, are you okay? Anyway, that's all water under the bridge now. Not for Linda Carmichael. Or my neighbor Vera. You left quite an impression on both of them.
Well, don't listen to those old bats. All they have is trashy talk shows and small-town gossip.
You don't believe them, right? Charlotte, I'm sorry. A customer just walked in. I have to go.
Charlotte lowers her phone and looks at it. Emily closes up the display case. Now the neighbor Vera is tending some plants.
Hello?
She goes to answer her door. Emily is on the doorstep. Emily.
I don't mean to bother you. It's your neighbor, Emily. I really need to talk to you.
Vera.
How do I know you're not her?
I could show you my driver's license. She could fake that, I suppose. I could swear on a Bible. Would that help? I don't want anything from you. I was just hoping you could answer some questions about Charlotte.
Oh, yeah? What sorts of questions?
Can I come in?
Emily steps into Vera's house. They enter Vera's living room.
I'm Vera, by the way.
They sit down.
I'm sorry about how I acted before. I didn't know she had a sister. Not until last night, anyway.
Emily.
Well, it's nice to officially meet you, Vera. Although I wish it was under better circumstances. It's very generous of you, by the way, volunteering like that.
Yeah, gets me out.
So what can you tell me about Charlotte? How do you know her?
Well, I can't say I know her. She has a great big house, not far from my friend Nellie Martinez. And we'd see Trevor Forsbeck going in. Now, we knew he was married to Linda Carmichael, so it was pretty clear what was going on.
My sister admitted to having an affair with him.
Oh, she did a lot worse than have an affair. She was there the night he died.
What? What did you see?
Oh, it's not so much what I saw, it's what I heard. They were having a great big row. You could hear it clear across the road. And then I see her zip away in her little toy car. Next morning, I find out Trevor is dead.
Oh, my God. Did you tell the police?
Oh, I haven't trusted that crew since they arrested me for lewd conduct, summer of 73.
Well, do you have any photos or videos of what you saw? You have no proof that Charlotte was there that night.
Not from that night, no. But I do from last night.
Vera takes out her phone. Vera shows Emily a video on her phone.
This is Charlotte.
That's Charlotte, all right.
Charlotte goes around to the side of the house,
leading the lamb to slaughter.
She set Blake up. She used me as bait. I can't believe this. We need to show that to the police.
Oh, the minute you stick your neck out with those people, that's when you lose your head.
Well, then give it to me. I'll take it in. Oh. Vera, we can't let Charlotte get away with this.
I suppose you're right. But I'm going with you. Let me get my coat.
Vera gets up. Emily grabs a heavy bookend from the shelf. She whacks Vera across the back of the head. It was Charlotte all along. Charlotte.
That was the old bat.
Charlotte replaces the bookend. She takes Vera's phone, steps over her, and exits. Vera lays on the floor with a bloody gash in her head. Later, Emily arrives home. She gets out of her truck. She notices Vera's door is open. Emily goes over to Vera's house. Emily pushes Vera's front door open.
Hello?
She steps inside and sees Vera laying on the floor. Blood has pooled near her head.
Oh my God.
Emily calls 911.
911, what's your emergency?
Later, the police have arrived. Emily gets up off of her steps and greets them. The detective approaches.
You still think it was a burglary?
Probably. Some jewelry missing, other valuables. There's been a rash of home invasions in this area, mainly targeting the elderly. Anything else you can tell me?
I was coming home from work. Everything looked fine. And then I saw her door was open.
You said she was angry with you?
I don't think Vera liked me very much, no. But now I think that might have been my sister's fault.
What makes you say that?
Charlotte seems to have a talent for getting under people's skin. Has there been any news about Blake Forsbeck?
Mr. Forsbeck's been released on bail. He's currently under house arrest, pending his court date.
Released? Already?
I can assure you he's in no condition to cause you any more trouble. In the meantime, do you have anywhere else you can stay?
No, I've done enough running, Detective. I'm staying here.
All right. I'll be in touch. Stay safe.
Thank you, Detective.
The detective goes off. The next day, Emily is driving. She parks in a driveway and gets out of the car. Emily answers her phone.
Charlotte, hi.
Sorry, I meant to call. There's just been a lot happening.
No worries, sis. I just thought we could make brunch plans. There's this posh new place I've been scoping out. Apparently, they're giving out free tapas.
Oh, I can't today. I'm sorry. I've just got too much work on my plate.
Oh, are you sure?
Is anything the matter?
No, Charlotte. Everything's fine.
Of course. Well, I guess I'll catch you later then, sis.
Yeah.
Charlotte watches Emily.
Bye. You snooping bitch.
Charlotte watches Emily as she walks up to the house and knocks on the door. Blake answers the door.
Charlotte.
Emily.
You're gonna finish the job?
Blake, listen to me. I'm not Charlotte. I'm her sister, Emily.
Why should I believe you? Leave me the hell alone.
If I were Charlotte, why would I even be standing here? What could I hope to achieve? Please, I just need to ask you a few questions. I need to know.
Know what?
The truth. About Charlotte. About what happened between her and your brother.
Emily enters the house. They sit down in Blake's living room. A bottle of whiskey sits on the coffee table.
You have 2 minutes until these kick in.
Blake takes some pills and washes them down with whiskey. He sits back in his chair.
Now, what do you want to know?
Your brother, Trevor. Did he really die in an accident?
It was no accident. He was murdered by your sister.
The police say Trevor died of carbon monoxide poisoning. Do you have any proof Charlotte was involved? I know what it's like, Blake, to be betrayed by someone you trust. Before I came here, my ex made my life hell. The only reason I'm in Mill County is to get away from him. I'm not about to let Charlotte drive me away.
The old lady who does the mail deliveries, Vera, she saw Charlotte that night. But it was just her word against Charlotte's, so the cops dropped it. Charlotte was there when Trevor died.
But Vera died last night.
Vera's dead? If you're telling me the truth, you should run. Get out of this town. Never look back.
Blake is conking out.
Blake.
Blake passes out.
Blake.
Emily exits. Now Emily approaches her truck. A back tire has been flattened.
Are you kidding me?
She goes to the truck to look at the tire. Emily gets a jack out of the truck. She starts changing the tire. Meanwhile, Charlotte pulls into Emily's driveway. She gets out of her car and goes to the front door. Charlotte tries the door, but it's locked. She looks around and spots a broom nearby. She picks up the broom and breaks a window. She reaches through the window and unlocks the door. Charlotte enters Emily's house. Charlotte starts looking around. In a bedroom, she goes through a dresser. Then she finds Emily's box. She finds the photos in the box and looks through them. Charlotte.
Cute. But definitely not my type. You need better standards, sister.
Next, she finds a note with an address on it. Charlotte looks in Emily's closet.
Somebody needs a fashion intervention. I guess you'll have to do.
She takes a little black dress from the closet. She stands in front of a full-length mirror, holding the dress up to herself.
Perfect.
Charlotte is driving. Charlotte arrives at Jared's house. She knocks on the door. Jared answers the door. It's nighttime.
Emily,
Jared, surprised to see her.
What the hell are you doing here?
Hi, Jared. Aren't you going to invite me in?
I'm not supposed to be within 500 feet of you.
I'm here on my own terms. I wanted to see you.
Charlotte steps inside. Jarrett runs to clear whiskey bottles from the coffee table. The kitchen is a mess.
Guess you weren't expecting company.
I've been busy with work.
Charlotte slips off her jacket. She wears Emily's little black dress underneath.
I've been a mess since you left.
Charlotte puts down her jacket.
The truth is, I haven't stopped thinking about you.
Of course you haven't. I've been thinking about you, too.
They look at each other.
You put a restraining order on me.
Can't a girl play hard to get? I'm sorry.
Charlotte steps closer.
You know how emotional I can be. Especially when I feel I've been wronged.
Sure.
That's what I always liked about you, Jared. You're a person with strong passions.
This doesn't sound like you.
Maybe you just haven't been listening.
Charlotte pours whiskey into two glasses.
You're not acting like yourself either, Emily. You seem different.
I know we can't go back to the way things were. But maybe we could start something new. Be even better than we were before.
I'd like that. I'd very much like that.
They clink glasses.
God, I missed you.
They drink.
Have you, seen anyone else since you left?
You know I haven't. Other men just couldn't.
Charlotte gets closer.
Satisfy me like...
She puts a hand on Jared's shoulder. She leans in to kiss him, then steps back. Charlotte picks up her jacket, then leads Jared away. They make out on their way to the bedroom. Now they enter the bedroom. Charlotte pushes Jared onto the bed on his back. She drops her purse and jacket on the floor. She kneels on the bed beside Jared, undoing his belt. Jared happily complies as she pulls off his belt.
Got one more little surprise for you.
She holds the belt.
Now be a good boy.
And tweaks his chin.
Close your eyes.
Jared closes his eyes. Charlotte bends down to get something out of her purse.
Okay, you can open your eyes now.
Jared opens his eyes and Charlotte pepper sprays him. Jared covers his eyes.
Why the hell would you do that?
Because I wanted to hurt you as much as you hurt me. How's it feel, Jared?
To be on the receiving end.
You prick!
Jared rolls off the bed trying to grab her. She steps aside.
You disgust me, Jared. Dating you was charity for me. You never satisfied me in the slightest. You tell the police about this, you tell anyone about this, and I'll tell them you attacked me when I came to get my things. I have all the evidence I need.
She takes a photo of Jared.
You're taking pictures of me!
You so much as come near me again, these pictures will be all over social media.
She puts her phone away.
This will be your resume for the rest of your miserable life.
Jared tries to grab her again. She steps back.
I take it back, Jared.
She leans on the doorframe.
I don't think any man can satisfy me as much as you're satisfying me right now.
Charlotte turns away smugly, leaving Jared on the floor.
Emily! Emily! You're gonna regret this!
Now Jared's in the bathroom washing the pepper spray out of his eyes. Furious, he looks in the mirror.
Bitch!
Then he goes back into the bedroom. Charlotte's left her jacket behind. Jared picks up a business card for the antique shop. He looks at the business card. The address is on the face of it. Meanwhile, back at the shop, Emily closes up. She hangs the closed sign and exits the shop. She locks the door and heads around the corner to her truck. Someone is watching. A dark SUV follows her. Now Emily's at a service station getting gas. The dark SUV pulls in behind her at the pumps. Emily gets out of her car. The other driver gets out of the SUV. Emily turns to see him. Jared.
Hello, Emily.
Emily.
Jared, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. There's a restraining order.
Restraining order? Where was your restraint, Emily? Not so tough now without your pepper spray.
Pepper spray? I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I was done. I'd moved on. You come back into my life just to torment me? Be happy now? Is this what you wanted?
The service station attendant watches.
I don't know what you're talking about, but that wasn't me.
What do you mean that wasn't you? Who the hell could it have been?
Something has happened. Something unbelievable. I have a twin sister. Her name is Charlotte. The person that you were with, it was her.
Jarrett looks at her in disbelief.
You think I'm stupid enough to believe that?
Jared, Charlotte is just using both of us. She's using you to try to get rid of me.
Boys!
Jared moves closer. Emily backs away. The attendant comes
out. Get back inside your box or I'll knock your goddamn teeth out.
Jared points at him.
Get inside!
He scurries back into the station.
Emily?
Emily hides beside her truck.
Emily!
Jared looks for her.
Stop playing games, Emily!
She creeps around her truck.
You were using me all along!
The gas station attendant makes a phone call.
It's a plaything to you!
Emily runs.
I never meant to hurt you.
She stops and faces him.
I just wanted to love you.
He moves closer.
Turn that all around on me.
Jared, please. If you ever felt anything for me, I just need you to believe me. Just stop, okay?
That was all fantasy. This is reality.
He moves closer. Emily turns and runs. Emily runs out onto the street. Jared follows. He's hit by a car. Emily goes to his side. The driver gets out of the car. She looks up at the driver.
Call 911!
The driver goes to the car to get his phone. Now the police have arrived. The detective approaches Emily.
He didn't make it.
Emily.
This was all Charlotte's fault. This is Charlotte.
The next day, Charlotte's house. Charlotte.
Am I being charged with something?
The detective.
Your sister thinks the attack against her last night was provoked. She seems to think that you would know something about that.
Me? Provoked how?
Did you see Mr. Renzer last night?
I could get a lawyer.
That would be your right. And we could continue this conversation down at the station after I retrieve traffic footage from every camera on his block.
I did visit Jared, but not to provoke him. I went to plead with him.
Plead with him about what?
I begged him to leave my sister alone, to end the harassment. And now you're telling me that she's defending him? I can't imagine the mind games he must have played with her. The sheer mental abuse she's suffered.
I was unaware that was ongoing.
Well, it was. And she confided in me. So if you intend to arrest me for being an overprotective sister, by all means, throw in the cuffs.
Charlotte holds out her wrists. Now, Emily.
Well, she's lying to you. She's not trying to help.
Detective.
Me.
Even if it's true and she manipulated him into attacking you, I don't know how we're going to prove it in court. Ultimately, Jared acted by himself.
So she's just going to get away with it? Did you ask her about Vera?
She denied ever meeting Vera Beale.
And you believed her?
It's not about what I believe, it's about what I can prove. And we're certainly going to continue looking into her.
And I got to find that proof.
If you want my advice, Miss North, I would cut all ties with your sister and allow this investigation to play out on its own.
The detective goes off. Emily goes back inside her house. Another day. Now Linda comes out of the real estate office. Emily approaches. Linda.
I don't know whether to punch you in the face or to offer my condolences. Which one are you? Or does it even matter anymore?
Emily.
Emily, I'm Emily.
Linda walks away.
Linda, we need to talk.
Emily follows. Linda stops and faces her.
What can I do for you?
You heard what happened to Vera?
She was a good woman. She deserved better. What do you want?
I think Charlotte had something to do with it. I think she's trying to cover her tracks.
You think Charlotte?
Emily nods.
No. I don't want to know.
Okay, I've already been through hell with that lady. So.
Linda, Charlotte is going to get away with murder again, unless we do something about it. Please. Is there anything you haven't told me about Trevor? Something that Charlotte might have missed?
Linda considers.
Blake. He said that Trevor was starting to worry about Charlotte. He thought she was trying to blackmail him. So he set up a hidden camera in the bedroom of that house that he bought. He was always the paranoid type, though, so...
You never mentioned this camera to the police?
Well, I mean, if it was your husband filming his affair, would you have? Who knows if it's even true?
I need to get inside.
Listen to me. If what you're telling me is true, then you need to watch your back. Because if Charlotte thinks that you're in her way, your life means nothing to her now. She'll roll over you like a boulder down a hill.
Linda walks away. Later that night, Emily.
Charlotte, we need to talk about Jared. Can you meet me at my house in 30 minutes?
Emily's outside Charlotte's house.
I'll see you soon.
She hangs up. Emily watches as Charlotte gets in her car. Emily drives away. Emily runs to the house. She breaks a window in a side door. She reaches in and unlocks the door. Now Emily's in the house. She goes upstairs. Now Emily's in Charlotte's bedroom. She searches for the camera. She looks inside books. She takes out a book and opens it. She finds the camera and removes it from the hollow book. She puts the book back. Now she plugs the camera into her phone. She looks at the files and selects one. It shows Charlotte and Trevor about to make out. They climb onto the bed together. Emily watches the video. Charlotte straddles Trevor. She calmly picks up a pillow and smothers him. Now Charlotte lifts the pillow. Trevor is dead.
Got you now, sis.
Emily pockets the evidence and leaves the bedroom. On her way out, she comes face to face with Charlotte. Charlotte.
Hey, sis. What you got there?
Emily.
I guess I could come up with some big lie to explain what I'm doing here. But then again, I'm not you.
Emily looks Charlotte over.
Are you dressing like me too now? What can I say? This whole helpless sweetheart act seems to be working out so well for you. Thought I'd give it a shake. Is that how you tricked Jared into coming after me? Don't blame me for your awful taste in men. It's hereditary. Charlotte, no one is going to believe you. Not anymore. You're right, sister. No one will believe me. Not if you're out there spewing your lies.
Charlotte pulls out her gun. She points it at Emily.
I didn't want things to end up this way. But you've put me in such a position. You've given me no choice. You attacked me in my own home. I had to defend myself.
Emily pulls her phone out of her pocket.
It's for you.
Emily swings at Charlotte. Emily runs into a room and locks the door.
You can't run from your own shadow, Emily! You're just making this harder on yourself.
Now Emily makes it outside. She runs across the lawn in the darkness.
Sister!
Charlotte pursues her.
You definitely have better cardio than me.
Emily aims the gun.
Did you say it's diet or genes? Or is it both?
They face each other. Emily.
You don't have to do this, Charlotte. We can figure this out. Together. And to think, 6 months ago, I thought I had it all figured out. And then Lake had to go and muck it up. Now look at me, traipsing through the mud like a crazy person. I'll probably be running for the rest of my life after tonight. After you're gone. Unless, of course, it's Charlotte who disappears. Let me just take one last look at how your cheekbones drink up the moonlight. You really are a beauty. It's a shame to see you go.
Emily takes another swipe at Charlotte. They wrestle for the gun. Charlotte punches Emily. Now she strangles her. Emily strangles Charlotte. Emily pushes Charlotte's head back. Emily breaks Charlotte's hold, almost getting away. Charlotte hits Emily in the head. Emily lays motionless.
It was
was you or me. Sister.
Now Charlotte checks Emily's pockets. She takes her keys. Charlotte puts on the wrist brace. Now Charlotte frantically grabs clothes from her closet. She goes in the other room and grabs Emily's phone from the floor. Charlotte.
David! Oh my God, I'm so glad you called. You won't believe what's happened. Can you please meet me at my house? I just can't stand to be alone right now. Thank you, David. I don't know what I'd do without you. See you soon.
Charlotte hangs up. Charlotte goes outside. Now David and Charlotte arrive at Emily's house at the same time. David and Charlotte get out of their cars.
Emily.
David.
You okay? What happened?
Charlotte. It was Charlotte. She followed me. She tried to kill me.
Where's she now?
I don't know. I fought her off. The police are looking for her. She's still out there. She was drinking. She was acting crazy. I was so scared.
We should get you checked out of the hospital.
No, I'm fine. I just want to take a long shower and go to bed. Will you stay with me? Just for a little while.
Yeah. Of course. Anything you need.
Charlotte notices the little girl asleep in the backseat of David's car.
You brought your daughter.
Yeah, I hope you don't mind. It's too late to find a sitter.
Of course I don't mind. You know I love kids.
David gets his daughter out of the car. Oh. Now inside the house. Charlotte has changed. She adjusts the wrist brace. David appears at the bedroom door.
How you doing?
Good. Come in.
I hope you don't mind. I put Adelaide in the guest room. I've got a blanket for the couch. Figured I'd keep a watch downstairs.
Charlotte.
Actually, I was hoping you could stay with me. I don't want to be alone. All my life, I dreamed of having a sister.
Charlotte looks at herself in the mirror.
Real family. For a moment, I did.
Charlotte turns on the tears. David embraces her. Then Charlotte kisses him. She pushes him down on the bed. He pushes her off.
Sorry, Emily. I feel like I'm taking advantage of you. Maybe we should slow things down.
You're not taking advantage of
Charlotte pushes him down again.
How about I whip us up a couple cups of hot chocolate, huh? With a sprig of mint.
I'm not a big mint fan.
I thought it was your happy place drink.
Favorites change. Speaking of favorites.
Charlotte?
She pushes him back on the bed and whacks him. David rolls onto the floor. Now back at Charlotte's house. Emily lays unconscious on the ground. She wakes up. There's a gash in her forehead. Now Charlotte exits Emily's house with Adelaide. Adelaide,
Emily, what time is it?
Don't worry about it, sweetheart. We're going on a little adventure.
But I need my coat.
Not tonight.
She leads Adelaide to her car. Now Emily's in Charlotte's house. She looks for her phone. Reaching into her pockets, she finds her keys are gone. Then she spots Charlotte's keys. She grabs the keys and is then racing off in Charlotte's car. Emily pulls into her driveway. She enters the house. Cautiously, Emily looks around for Charlotte. She heads upstairs.
David? Adelaide?
Emily enters the bedroom to find David laying on the floor.
David? David? Are you okay?
David comes too.
Emily?
Yeah. It's me. It's really me. I'm so sorry this happened.
Adelaide. Where's Adelaide?
Emily runs out of the bedroom. Then she runs back.
She's not here.
Charlotte, she must have taken her. What does she want with her?
At this point, Charlotte just wants to get away from here. But in order to do that, she's going to need money. I think I know where she's headed.
David painfully gets up.
Okay, just stay here, okay? I will call 911. I'll get her back, I promise.
Emily gets up and goes off. Now Emily's truck is parked at the side of the shop. The police speed past. Charlotte gets out of the truck. She opens the passenger door and talks to Adelaide. Charlotte.
All right, sweetie pie. I'm just going to be 5 minutes, and then we'll get that ice cream I promised, okay?
Okay.
Okay, sit tight.
Charlotte goes around the corner and heads into the shop. She opens the shop door and enters. Charlotte gets a key from under the counter. She goes to the jewelry display cabinet and starts taking out the jewelry. She starts filling her purse with the jewelry. She hears the doorbell jingle.
Emily? Is that you?
Charlotte closes the cabinet door.
You know, I'm not all that surprised you're still alive.
Emily hides behind a shelf.
That fighting spirit. Guess it's in our blood.
Emily.
Where's Adelaide? What'd you do with her? She's fine.
What do you think I am, some kind of monster? She and I are going to be sticking together for a little while. You know, like sisters.
Charlotte raises her gun.
She'll be my little insurance policy.
Emily moves around the shop. She's reflected in the glass of a cabinet.
Let her go, Charlotte. Take me instead.
You? What are you worth? You're just an inferior version of me. Have to admit, it was nice having a taste of the good life. How many of us ever get to do that? Sleep a while in someone else's sheets. But between you and me, now that I've had it both ways, it's a lot more fun being bad.
Emily pushes a cabinet over. Charlotte drops her gun and Emily kicks it away. Charlotte picks up a hammer.
Sister, you impress me.
Charlotte swings the hammer. Emily ducks. Emily evades the blows. Now Emily picks up a wrench. She whacks Charlotte with the wrench. Charlotte prepares the hammer for a swing.
Oh, sister.
She's about to swing the hammer when Emily whacks her again.
Family!
Charlotte drops like a rock. Emily.
I don't even know who you are.
Charlotte lays unconscious on the floor. Now Emily goes out the side door of the shop. She sees Adelaide in the truck.
Oh my god. Hi. Hey, honey. Are you okay?
Adelaide gets out of the truck.
I got you.
Emily hugs her.
I got you, honey.
Sometime later, David's house. David sets the rocking chair Emily worked on in the living room. Emily.
I think it looks perfect. Like it was always made for that spot.
Oh. David.
It's just missing one thing.
No, but it's your chair.
Yeah, but I have a hunch you'll look better in it.
Emily sits in the chair.
Ooh.
She rocks.
Smooth motion. Well balanced. Precision.
Adelaide has made 3 mugs of hot chocolate. Adelaide.
Hot chocolate's ready.
They walk over to Adelaide. Lena is with her.
Has she been talking your ear off?
Lena.
She's been educating me on all things Jane Austen.
It's a new beginnings.
They pick up their mugs.
To the family we choose to have.
They clink their mugs.
Cheers. Cheers.
They drink their hot chocolate.
That's perfect.
Fade to black. Credits.